Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Reagan Brown, and welcome back to HOA, It's a True Story. In today's world of technology, we often hope that our processes continue to improve our work product. And that sometimes is the case, but not always. But our guests today are the dynamic duo from Barrera and Company. We have Damian Esparza and Rich Adams with us today. And we're discussing both their proprietary software program and how it works for reserve studies and what the future of that is going to look like. I want to thank all of our regular listeners that have been staying with us in this new season, season four of HOA, It's a True Story. A special welcome if this is your first time joining us. So once again, gentlemen, thank you for joining me today at HOA, It's a True Story.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to start off with Damian. Tell me a little bit about your background and help our listeners get to know who you are and how you got involved in the HOA industry.
Yeah, so Damian Esparza, I've been in the HOA industry since 2001. And I have a family reserve city company called Barrera & Company. And Barrera was started in 1980 by my uncle, Sean Barrera. And we started as a general contracting firm based out of Solana Beach, California. And that actually turned into a reserve city company, with our first reserve city being completed in 1983. So this is even pre-Davis Sterling. We were one of the first reserve city providers back then. And back then, you know, we didn't have, you know, Excel and Microsoft and all these tools.
Paper,
I mean, literally it was paper. And I have these artifacts in our office. And they used to take Polaroids. And they would stick the, you know, the piece of paper with the picture and the Polaroid, and then have the little name of what the component was. And then it was placed plastered on
written at the bottom.
Paper. And then they used an accounting firm called Sonnenberg, which is still around today down in San Diego. And he would do all the accounting piece, right, on whatever they used back then. But it was a pretty arduous process. So that's our origins in this.
With an adding machine tape, taped up to it.
We're going back to the abacus, right? Yeah. Like, this is like old school. This is the OG of reserve studies. So we have, you know, that type of historical experience, right, in this industry. And so I got in the business in 2001. I was actually working and living in San Francisco. I was working with tech companies and finance, and then gotten into it by accident. My uncle ended up passing away in 2001. And that, you know, one of the things he had was this reserve study company. I ended up staying and taking that and growing that business. And then from that, I started to see and feel that there was a better opportunity. I was having, you know, my own search for relevance, if you will, right? And I thought there could be a better way. And we started to tinker with software. And this is like 2005. So back then, they didn't call it the cloud. They called it internet software. And we were the first ones to create a cloud-based application. I want to just call it a glorified reporting engine.
A platform.
I mean, that's really all it did was create, you had some inputs and it would create like these reports that were outputs. And that company was called eReserves. It wasn't really a success, but it was our first venture into that. And then from there, we kind of began the journey and to ultimately create a better experience of what became Smart Property. And that is a spun out company. So Smart Property is a separate corporation from Barrera. And it's focused, and we initially focused on that business as I would call reserve study software. And then we got into living reserve study. And then now we're really into asset management. And it's this bigger idea, and it ties directly into what Rich and what we think the future of reserve studies is, Regan, where you have an asset. And we have two sides of the coin. We have the maintenance side of the coin, and we have the replacement reserve side of the coin. And as you probably know, CAI came out with new guidelines this summer based upon what happened in Champlain. And they're really talking about the interconnectivity, the best practices of reserve studies is this interconnectivity between understanding what your maintenance and your maintenance plans look like, and then what your ultimately your replacement life cycles look like. And we really believe that the reserve study should encompass both sides of that coin, both the maintenance and the reserve, for better accuracy and understanding what the true cost of ownership of these assets are.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there because I want to dive deeper into that, but I want to let Rich have a minute here to kind of give his background. We go way back, but we'll let
we'll let you kind of share. Yes, we do. Well, hello, my name is Rich Adams. I'm the senior reserve analyst with Barrera and Company for Northern California. I've been with Barrera since 2017, so I'm going into my eighth year next year. I've been in the industry or around the industry for about 22 years. I'm a graduate of CSU Sacramento with a degree in operations management, but I got my start close to the industry back in the early 2000s, working for a home builder and doing warranty management and managing punch list of items of homeowner assets that are broken. Did that. And as we all know, the bubble kind of burst in that mid 2000s and went on to cut my teeth in learning estimating, very green estimator, starting directly in the HOA market, working for a general contractor, started improving and advancing estimating systems, became a senior estimator. After that, I've worked around the industry in terms of construction defects, some construction management, even a little bit of association management as well. So I tend to think and approach my projects as a reserve analyst, as a project manager. So very consultative in the trenches with my clientele, and that's where I like to bring value. Yes, I have the field knowledge, but I know how to ask the right questions and work with clients pretty well. So that's a little bit about my background and brings me here today. Again, I've been with the company for going on my eighth year, and it's a great place to be and a lot of adventure, a lot of learning, and it's a good wave to be riding ahead into the future with the future of reserve studies.
Well, one of the comments you just made kind of ties me back to what Damian was saying, that you come at it from a project manager perspective. So the way that reserve studies get looked at, right, are both financial and from a physical condition standpoint, right? So how does smart property then, let's do that deeper dive there, going into how it utilizes the software to bring that physicality into the accounting aspect of it without the Polaroid and the ticker tape?
Yeah, you know, we coined this term the living reserve study, right? Because your property, I picked it up at a trade show in Northern California probably about 10 or 15 years ago from a manager. But the idea that your software or your reserve study should be living, right? Like Rich is a practitioner. So he's there to serve the client. And there's different needs where Rich needs to adjust information quickly in real time to allow the customer to see what the optionality for making a decision is. So what smart property does is allows you to do that and then visually show that information so that you can connect with that customer in a more time effective manner, a more efficient manner, if you will, versus the old way of doing things, which was you'd flip back and forth between emails and revisions. Right? There's no continuity of the information, right? It doesn't live. It's just static and it just gets ported from, one email inbox to the other. But by having this as almost your system of record for your reserves, it allows Rich to do his job better and then effectively communicate to the client.
And to piggyback on that too, I use a lot of analogies, but I look at Barrera is the vehicle. Smart property is the new and enhanced engine. I run a paperless office for the most part, meaning I could be anywhere and I can adapt and make changes using the software relatively quickly. I can get back to my clients. I can make the changes or run scenarios really from anywhere, be it from here in the war room in the office, at home, as I work over in Tracy, or even in the field, collaborate with clients right there. Like, what if we did this? What if we changed this asset or deferred it to a particular time? What if we made this contribution as opposed to this one? So it allows me to move back instead of having to cut the old tape and Polaroid. It's real time and quick and efficient.
How does this like revolutionize the whole approach to reserve studies in comparison now then to traditional? Because if you're able to do real-time adjustments, I'm wondering, how does that affect them being able to, do they see this themselves? Is it a platform they log into, or do you get the one-time annual document?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's different perspectives based on, let's call it the life cycle of a community, right? So traditionally, reserve studies, the job to be done was to set the reserve contribution. Mm-hmm. And I think the old adage is, Once that's done, then you get the document and it goes in the file folder. Mm-hmm. And we work around the country. So we see how different management companies operate based on different states. And in California, I would say that the reserve study has been commoditized, right? There's a lot of generation of the reserve study to fit some disclosure, you know, requirement and some checklist by a manager. And then it's not very well utilized. And that job to be done, I think, has exacerbated the issue where, you know, we have so many associations that are in a state of needing either a special assessment or needing a loan. And so that brings up a different job to be done. That job to be done is help me understand how I'm going to pay for X expense, maybe balconies, and then show me how to effectively communicate this to my owners, right? I got to sell this new job to be done to get this, whatever this acute issue is done. So the value of smart property is in that analysis tool. So it allows guys like Rich, right, who have this knowledge base to input that, to power this engine so that he can help the client for that job to be done. But it's a separate job to be done. The third job to be done, which I think is the really kind of what we talk into the evolutionary space of where we're going, is we are integrating with the system of record. So we are now integrating with companies like AppFolio, companies like Vanica, and companies like Sync, which are primarily the drivers of innovation for management companies. So what we're now creating is real-time financial health reports that can show you what your budget is actually showing versus what your actuals are showing on a monthly basis without any input from a manager or any other third party. So what's the value there? It's objectifying information on one page that shows the board if they're on track with their reserves or not.
So does the manager pull this down from a platform? How do they get this information from you?
So we are integrating with the systems of record. And what
that
means-
So it's through that AppFolio then?
AppFolio is one of them, but we're essentially taking the chart of accounts from the general ledger and then mapping those categories of expenses to the actual reserve study. So our goal there is really to mitigate the need for a manager to touch the reserve study. The problem with reserve studies too, is they're really big and it's really hard for managers to get their heads around these reserve studies. And so, you know, where Rich's value comes in is he's almost like a co-pilot for that manager to walk them through that situation.
Yeah.
How many situations is Rich walking them through? They're listening to Rich. They're not reading the report in most situations, right? They trust Rich.
A lot of times I hold the meetings when I'm invited to a meeting, we're live on the platform on Zoom and I'm making these changes and educating and showing scenarios in real time.
So you're right. I mean, there's a lot of education that has to take place in reserves, especially because we have a lot of new managers entering into our industry and they're just learning what it is. And some of these reserve studies can be pretty lengthy and they're not just a Gantt bar chart. So I could see where it gets a little bit confusing, but if they're tying it into their day-to-day chart of accounts and budgets, are they able to see the financial change happening as you're putting it in?
Yeah, because we're tracking the actual spend versus what was planned to be spent for that specific year, right? So that those numbers can change every month.
Okay.
You know, and the big one that I would say is a lot of the decisions in this industry are made out of emotion. There's a lot of subjectivity and biasness made by boards, right? I think we can all agree that the model or the governance model could be improved. If managers could actually spend the money that was allocated from their reserves to do the jobs, you know, that might mitigate the deferral, right? We might not have the situation we're at, but that's not the model we're working in. So you have a lot of emotional decisions made by boards. So anything that you can provide or we can provide that helps objectify the decision-making process, it removes that manager or that messenger from being the bad person. And you're just looking at objective data. For example, what did we actually spend out of our reserve category for fencing or pool and spa or mechanical versus what did we budget so far this year? How much money have we collected? How much money were we supposed to collect? What is our reserve balance as of now? Not as of, you know, 7 months from now or, you know, 3 months ago. Like, what does it look like now? So any kind of snapshots, I believe, help Rich help the reserve providers that are consulting and providing value from a recommendation perspective. as well as those boards to do something and get out of that culture of deferral.
So does this get you a quicker look at the need for an increase in reserves? One of the things we saw over and over in the last, well, probably since about 2017, was the costs were going up faster than people were reserving their funds, right? So they were underfunded repeatedly over and over and over. Then legislation came along and threw in balcony inspections and all these other things that have to take place, and they weren't funded for those things. So it ate up a lot of their reserves. So how can your program help them kind of see it coming a little bit faster?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're working on, right? So we're working on smarter data that can be benchmarked for the greater value of the communities that have to make those buying purchasing decisions, as well as those fundings for repairs, which ultimately can lead to increasing assessments, right? How do we enable more accuracy and more reliability of the information that we are all making decisions off of? And for the most part, you know, the reserve studies, there's a lot of opportunity to improve that process.
Do you have any of the AI as part of your program?
Yes, we are working on that behind the scenes. And that is stuff that we haven't publicly launched any of that yet, but that's absolutely where we believe the future is going.
I love that you were started out of Solana Beach. I used to live there, and it amazing. Is a tiny little sneeze of a town.
Oh, it's amazing. It's the coolest, funkiest little beach. We live up it in Carlsbad, but we love, that's where our kids go to the beach, and it's such
it's a great spot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really cool, sleepy old, it's not sleepy anymore, but it's a really cool beach town.
Of course, everything's changing. And that's kind of what we're talking about here, right? Is how our landscape of technology is changing the way we do business. So if budget season, like they're in it right now. So Rich, how do you help the managers during budget season when they're already starting to look at next year's reserve study to get it passed for their annual budget?
Well, again, just being prideful and being service oriented and quick on the draw, the system really allows me to react pretty quickly. If I know I need to call a meeting, or, hey, you just need your disclosure and report to be finalized right away. It's really a quick system and it's transparent. It's really easy for me to use wherever I need to. And so I bring speed and efficiency, and that's what that tool allows me to do and help managers. You know, we're kind of the hero during budget season. When that manager is stressing out, hey, I need to get my report out. I need to finalize my operational budget. And we can be there in a meeting, or we can get that done for you a whole lot quicker with accuracy and good data and provide a recommendation in real time.
So beyond the efficiency, does this create another type of cost savings for the HOA or the manager?
I would jump in here to share a case study that we did with a client. It was a large scale client, but we helped save them over $70,000 in their contribution that they were going to allocate to reserves. And what we did and how we did that was we adjusted what we like to call the spikes. So any kind of capital plan you see is going to have a spike. So we looked at that year spike. We were able to adjust some of those components out. And this was a couple of years out. Mm-hmm. And so by just adjusting some of that, essentially the project plan, right? Which is, yeah. You know, one of the real values that Rich has is his construction estimating background, mm-hmm. and the ability that he understands how to project plan. So when you adjust those spikes out, then it relieves that day one contribution amount. So they were able to stay above a 70% threshold level and adjust what they were originally thinking about contributing to a lower amount, still having a sustainable plan, and then utilizing those funds to pay for some of the operating expense that they were going to have to increase their fees for. And that was a huge value, right? So that's, in our opinion, smart planning. And that's where like the values of Rich come into play with experts that have project planning and estimating background for these types of long-range planning exercises.
Yeah, and it's all about sequencing, looking at a project or an association of property and putting the right pieces of the puzzle together first, right? So let's say, here's reality. You know, you want to get your SB 326 inspections done. You may want to budget for the repairs, then consider painting after that. And what other priorities may fall into that? There may be some other waterproofing. There may be some roofing to do. Then you do your asphalt striping last. And then you reset that sequence appropriately into the future. And that can have a big effect on what you're contributing now and into the future and what that trend looks like. So we do that all the time. And that's how we look at these projects, or from that project management perspective. that it needs to be reality. If there's jumbled all over the place and they don't make any sense, I look at opportunities within the component inventory, say, put this out there, or this, I think this is in good shape still. It's not a priority. It's also having those kind of conversations with managers and with board members to see what are your goals? What are your priorities? Some things are going to be priority. Maybe the carpet in the clubhouse can wait a little bit and may have a little bit of a cost impact, but it's those kind of conversations that will lend themselves to cost savings, sometimes big, sometimes small, but it does add value.
So is the manager through their in-house software able to pull reports? Like if they have a monthly meeting and they want to take a look at that, or they want to see that savings, are they able to do that? Or that's when they need to call you and go, hey, help us demonstrate this report for where we're at now. I guess I'm still trying to figure out, is it through, you don't have an app, it's through your in-house accounting software program that you tie into?
So we use a thing called an API. An API is a application programming interface, okay?
Okay.
So imagine you're a software program and I'm a software program and we want to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And so we use a language, right, where I can move, port my data into your system.
Correct.
You can do what you do and vice versa. Sometimes it's pushed, sometimes it's pulled. But at the end of the day, data is talking to other data. So we don't have an in-house accounting software system. What we built is a configuration that allows us to look at data from an accounting system, pull that information in, and then we can make sense of that in our reporting tool. So that's kind of where, that's where our value comes in terms of being able to look at this information and generate real-time reports for the board packets. And what we really think is the future of reserve studies is, it's not even a reserve study. It's really a living tool. And you know, the most exciting thing that I think that we're really working on right now isn't even the reserve study. It's the preventative maintenance plan. It's the idea that you can have a preventative maintenance plan that integrates with your reserves. If Rich is doing a reserve study and he wants to know, is the remaining useful life of this component 0 or is it 5? It shouldn't be predicated on the install date or the useful life. It should also be predicated on what have you been doing to maintain that component.
Right.
And that really is the spirit of the CAI national best practices on how do we make these reserve studies better, right? Yeah. And right now we don't have tools. He doesn't have any tools. Management companies don't have any tools. Well, we do. We have spreadsheets. We have spreadsheets and whiteboards, right? But I think it's 2024. We're going into 2024 and we can do a heck of a lot better for our industry than spreadsheets and whiteboards, right? That's not portable. And emails. And we all have our own little flags for what email goes into what folder. But that doesn't, I mean, we're in the age of deferred maintenance and aging infrastructure to a level that we have not seen before, given the fact that we have communities now that are 40, 50, and 60 years old.
Yeah, they're aging out.
Yeah. And so, you know, so I do believe, you know, we as an industry deserve better tools to allow our managers to do their job effectively, as well as the boards to ultimately be able to make better informed decisions. And that's really, in my opinion, the value of an, you know, integrated financials with maintenance management and your reserves. So it should be all talking to each other as one. And that's really, in our opinion, I think what will change the current way that we think about this reserve study, which kind of sits in an island, right? It doesn't really connect with a lot of the pieces of what managers do, except when it comes to the disclosure and budget season.
I think one of the things I really like about this is if you have a manager change positions and you get a new manager, the data doesn't become corrupted or disappear or, you know, you guys keeping it going all the time, it stays congruent all the way through and you don't lose your data.
Yeah, I mean, and we, it's not proprietary just to Barrera. Like we're not selling this really to other reserve study companies, right? So full disclosure there. But we're selling this product to management companies. Mm-hmm. Management companies that want this information because they want to keep that institutional knowledge going for their clients on an ongoing basis. Because I think we're all suffering from the silos of information that don't get connected with turnover from boards or managers or whomever it may be. And then we're all kind of stuck recreating the wheel. So there's a lot of value in creating this system of record for your reserves.
I really think this is great. You said you're across the country, so you're national. Mm-hmm. not quite international yet.
No, we don't have any international clients yet, but we work.
That's on the horizon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, all the way from Maine down to Florida, Washington, obviously Solana Beach, and everything in between. It's been slow going. I will say, you know, we really had to have a couple of things happen. The pandemic, right? Zoom.
Yeah, really helped.
That shifted our industry, I think, by 10 years, right? People would be becoming normalized to doing board meetings on Zoom. You know, I hate to say it, but there had to be the collapse of that building, right? And one of our missions is to make meanings of those lives, right? How do we impact and make a difference to change or transform this culture of deferral that we are so, that our boards are so stuck in, right? Mm-hmm. Building greater confidence in the information that you're making a decision on. We had to work with these systems of record to be willing to actually integrate with us and believe that what we were doing is really was the way of the future. And then, you know, we have the advent, I will say, of better technologies, right? So I think, you know, AI in general, you know, we're still in the first inning of that, but I think in general, that's going to change how we're going to work. I don't think it's going to replace jobs, but I think it's going to augment.
Not yet. Right? Exactly.
You know, the jobs are just going to change. It's almost like, you know, when the calculator came out, everyone thought the calculator was going to take away jobs. It's just, you know, maybe Rich, instead of Rich handling, you know, 100 accounts, he can handle 1,000 accounts. Maybe mm-hmm. a client, maybe a manager, instead of handling 10 accounts, they can handle 50 accounts. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just going to change the nature of what our jobs become. But the job, and I think what more importantly, what will be the most expensive portion of a relationship is the human interface that we all care so deeply about. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the other stuff is going to become automated in a lot of ways. So, you know, the inputs, outputs will probably be a lot different in the future than what they are today. But having a human communicate to you and connect to you, that will always be the most valuable. And so, you know, I'm a big believer in the positivity that can come from, you know, the technical transformations that, you know, it's just another cycle, right? You know, and the last big cycle I really do believe was when the internet came. And before that, it was a personal computer. And ironically, those are all kind of 20-year cycles. And we're just kind of entering another one.
Is there anything you want to share or have HOA managers know about that we haven't actually touched on yet?
Just call Rich if you need help, right?
Well, that was my next question.
Just call me. Call me. If somebody call me on my wants cell phone. I work 24/7 on the clock this time of year. So,
do you have a website?
I literally do.
Yeah, you know, if you're interested in the technology, you can visit smartproperty.com, just as it sounds. If you're interested in talking to Rich about helping you with your current reserve study, I'd reach out to Rich, and you can visit us at BarreraCo.com or Rich@BarreraCo.com. And that's, you know, BarreraCo.com.
For any reason they can't find you on those, they can always reach us at inquiry@GBGroupInc.com, and we'll pass it along to you and Rich. So the name of the podcast is HOA, It's a True Story. Do you have a story you could share with us? Everybody in our industry.
Amy, I'm going to let you go first on this one because yeah, side stories.
So my true story is I met my wife in this industry through a woman who was the most amazing woman that I ever met in this industry, who was my mentor. Her name was Nora Jasky, and she had a management company in San Diego called NN Jasky. And we worked together in the early, or I guess 2008, 2009, focusing on water conservation and replacement reserves. And it was a program that we actually launched through CACM back in the day. And yeah, I am just so grateful for this industry because I met my wife through it. And
did your wife work in the industry, or she was a friend of Nora's?
So the story, I guess, goes is, and I always say this and she just rolls her eyes. She was a student in my class on a water usage report. And the only class we ever actually taught was this one class at Nora's office on how to create these water usage reports in collaboration with the County Water Authority of San Diego. And she was working for a water management.
Wow. Company. What a stimulating topic.
Damien can make any topic pretty interesting. I'm not surprised there.
So yeah. Right. And she, and then her big thing was, she was like, yeah, you were trying to make me do all your work for you. Right. So it was about 6 months after we had the class. And then we ended up, you know, going out for lunch. And then, you know, the rest was kind of history from there. But yeah, you know, we took
over. It's always the professor.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I always tell. And she just rolls her eyes. Like, she's like, yeah, you're really a professor. You taught like one class on water usage. Like, you're really the, right. So, but we've been happily married for what will be going on our 12th year. And have three little kiddos. And yeah, I'm super happy, super grateful. This industry has given so much to me. And I'm so grateful, you know, for all the people that I've met and all the people that are working with us, right? Rich and the rest.
That's a great industry.
A lot of fun.
Thriving. Rich, what about you? You have a story?
Well, yeah, I've got a lot of stories. I wanted to try and keep it a little PG, I guess. I've seen a lot of characters out there in the field, being kind of from the field, but whether it be the drunk guy story, or the crazy guy running around or whatever, but wish I could tell you a story about, you know, meeting a wife. But I recall a story back. It was one of the strangest punch list items I ever got when I was working back in home building. And I live out here in Tracy. And what brought me out here was Mountain House was just developing. And so I took a lot of, you know, as a senior warranty manager, I was taking on a lot of homes over there in terms of warranty. And one of the craziest punch list items that this owner did not give up on, I don't know if you know the Altamont, but it has these wind turbines.
Oh, yeah.
They're always going, right? And they thought, they were complaining in writing that it was windy out here because they wouldn't turn off the fans. And I just found it to be, it just became the joke of the company. And it still goes on around town here. The people are moving in. Like, they got to turn off the fans. I'm like, wow, the craziest items you have to write and react back to. No, they're not part of the HOA, or they're not part of your warranty. You can't do anything about the fans on the Altamont, but it's, you hear a lot of, you see a lot of characters out there, and
well, it's just proof that education is so important.
Yes.
Well, guys, it was so nice having you on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time, and what a great software you got going. I'm super excited to watch it flourish out there. And to your point, I think we're going to continue to see this side of our industry really grow and become much more technology driven and much more successful in that way. So wish you much success on your endeavor.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, Regan.
Truly.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Until next time.